Well, thank you very much to Ty, and it is a blessing for me also to be here with you, so thank you for having me. I hope you've got one of these outlines. Now, Andrew Kennedy assured me that he would be ready to give more to anyone who doesn't have one. No, we're all okay. We'll be looking at a number of different Bible verses this afternoon. Just a word of prayer as we dig into this. Oh, gracious God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, since 1901, the Nobel Prize for Peace has been awarded every year to those who've been judged to have done the most to promote world peace. Some of the winners have been highly controversial. Henry Kissinger was the US Secretary of State, very involved in the Vietnam War. When he won the prize in 1973, one comedian immediately retired from political satire, saying that it was no longer possible to be more satirical than reality itself. But other winners of the Peace Prize have actually been very moving. So in 1993, it was shared by Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk for their work peacefully ending apartheid. And then in 1998, the prize was shared once again, this time by John Hume and David Trimble for their non-violent efforts to build a peaceful solution in Northern Ireland. Beautiful examples of peacemaking. Well, I believe that over the past few weeks, you've been looking at the Beatitudes, these sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. And in these Beatitudes, Jesus gives 8 characteristics of his true followers. And he also holds out 8 wonderful promises which belong to all of his disciples. And today we come to the 7th Beatitude. It's Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So we'll see that peacemaking is not just the preserve of Nobel Prize winners. In fact, it should be the mark of every Christian believer, not necessarily on the political level, but certainly on the personal. We're going to explore the how and the why of Christian peacemaking. And there's sort of 2 big parts to our sermon today. And the first is that God is the ultimate peacemaker. God himself is the ultimate peacemaker. We learn in the Bible that sin, human disobedience against God and rebellion against him, destroys relationships. So our sin, it destroys the relationship between us and God, since God is perfectly holy. And actually sin, we know, also destroys and damages the relationships between human beings. But we also learn in the Bible that God is the God of peace. It means he's the God of harmonious relationships. Within the one God, there is a perfect relationship, the Father, Son, and Spirit, in perfect harmony and peace for all eternity. And the God of peace desires and creates harmonious, peaceful relationships where sin has destroyed them. So our first verse on the outline is Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how precious that is. Just think, before we came to faith in Jesus Christ, what was our relationship with God like? Well, actually, it was a relationship of conflict. We had turned away from God in selfishness and pride. And we faced God's right judgment, his just penalty for our sins. But through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. When we turn to Jesus as Lord, we come back under God's rule. And since Jesus died on the cross to bear himself the penalty for our sin, well, we no longer face God's judgment, but simply his blessing. See, through Jesus, God has made peace, a right relationship with him. Actually, if you're with us today and you're looking into the Christian faith, it's great that you're here. And the most important thing for all of us is that our relationship with God is one of peace. And that comes not actually through our own efforts, but through faith in Jesus, our Saviour. So God has made a way for peace with him. We also learn that God has made peace between people in his family. And that was the topic of the reading we heard in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read verse 14 to 16 again on the outline. For he, Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Now, there's a lot in that paragraph, but the dividing wall mentioned there was the barrier between Jewish people and the Gentile people, people who weren't Jewish. And as you may know, in the Bible times, there was such hostility between those two groups, the Jewish people and the Gentile people, that they wouldn't even go into each other's homes or eat together. But we learn here that Jesus, through his death, has done what seemed to be impossible. He's made Jewish believers in him and Gentile believers in him one, brought together as members of God's one family on the same basis through faith in the cross, brought into a relationship of peace with each other. And still today, God is bringing very different people together into his family. I was chatting to a friend at a Christian conference the other year, when as we were talking, another man walked into the room where we were. And my friend said to me, well, he pointed to the man who'd walked in and he said, I used to hate that man more than anyone else in the whole world. I was quite shocked. But he explained that before he'd become a Christian, he had been a pupil at the school where that man was a teacher. In fact, you can imagine something of their hostility. But then my friend walked over to the man who'd came into the room and they actually hugged with tears in their eyes. You see, in both coming to Christ, they had also been brought to each other. God has made a way we sinners can have peace with him and peace with each other, even Jews and Gentiles, even teachers and pupils brought together into one united family. I just want to highlight three things about God's peacemaking at this point. The first is that God's peacemaking is not appeasement, it's true peacemaking. So appeasement is where you ignore the problems and live with an uneasy truce. Whereas true peacemaking is where the problems are resolved, justice is done, and loving relationships are restored. That's what God's peacemaking is like, not appeasement, but true peacemaking. Second thing about God's peacemaking is it's both vertical and horizontal. So he's concerned with restoring peace between humans and him and between each other in his family in Christ. And third, God's peacemaking is costly. He gave his son on the cross. That's the sacrifice, the price that God has paid for peacemaking. Can you see how beautiful God's peacemaking is? Our God, the God of peace, is the ultimate peacemaker. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. It's not that we become God's children by being really good peacemakers. No, we know that we become God's children, well, by receiving Christ, by putting our faith in him. But the mark of God's children is that like our Heavenly Father, we are peacemakers. We all inherit some of the characteristics of our human parents, don't we? One friend of mine has the same funny walk as his dad. Well, actually, when we come to new life, when God gives us his Holy Spirit within, we start to take on some of his wonderful characteristics. And chief among these, we learn here, is that we love and value peacemaking, just as he does. That's our second big heading today. God's children should be peacemakers as he is. And I want to explore three areas in which we should be peacemakers as Christians, trying to restore and develop harmonious relationships around us. And the first is that we should seek peace between people and God. So remember, one of the characteristics of God's peacemaking is that as well as being horizontal, it's vertical. Actually, the most important peace that anyone can have is peace with God. If we're peacemakers, we'll be seeking to help people come into that right relationship with God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, "All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that he was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." If we ourselves have been reconciled with God, then he has entrusted to us the ministry and the message of reconciliation. That is imploring people to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this means keeping on praying for people, that God would open their eyes and draw them to himself. It means being open about our faith in appropriate ways so that people can see something of the difference that the Lord Jesus makes to us. It means doing what we can to help people hear the message of salvation, whether that's speaking to them ourselves, inviting to events, lending books, anything to help people hear the message of salvation. Now, if you're like me, instinctively you may think, I don't have the skills or knowledge to lead people to faith. But remember, it's God who's the ultimate peacemaker. And actually, he delights to use us in our weakness, in his great work of reconciling people to himself. Now, it is a sacrifice in time and effort and emotions to pray for people, to love them, to speak to them. But remember again, God's peacemaking was costly. We must expect ours to be costly as well. I think real lives will be so useful for this. But will you get started or get restarted or continue in this costly work of praying, of sharing our lives, and of inviting and speaking, in seeking peace between people and God? That's one aspect of Christian peacemaking. The next aspect, and over the sheets for this, is we should seek peace in the family of God. One of the great tragedies of history is how much conflict there's been between Christian believers. And actually, peacemakers, valuing what our Father has done to make peace between us, will seek loving, peaceful relationships with our fellow Christians. So the scripture there is actually from Ephesians chapter 4. I missed that off. And it's Paul again writing. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with each other in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now we see in verse 3 there the importance of peace in God's family. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we often think that this is done through things like committees and meetings for Christian unity. But actually, we see in this little reading that the key to seeking peace in the family of God isn't organized structures like that. It's actually the attitudes of our hearts. Do you notice that in verse 2? So he says, be completely humble. It means being willing to say sorry when we've wronged someone, willing to seek reconciliation, putting the interests of others ahead of our own, just as Jesus did. And also in verse 2, be gentle. That's literally meek, using our strength for the good of others. So not being harshly critical and putting people down, but encouraging and nurturing. These are the attitudes that foster peace. And it continues still in verse 2, be patient, bearing with each other in love. So slow to anger and quick to forgive each other. Often that will mean simply being willing to overlook ways that people sin against us. But remember, God's peacemaking wasn't appeasement. sweeping problems under the carpet and having an uneasy truce. It was true peacemaking. And so later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does teach that there's a place for going to speak to a fellow Christian who has sinned against us, to try and seek reconciliation with them. At times, going to speak to someone may be necessary, perhaps for their good or for the relationship to be restored. I think it calls for wisdom to know when someone sins against us, whether just to overlook it or whether actually it's a case where we should go and speak to them and seek reconciliation. But whichever one we choose, it must always be done in patience and love and with a desire to forgive. And peacemaking means focusing on what we have in common. We may be very different to one another in all sorts of ways, but as we see in verses 4 and 5, if we're believers in Jesus, we have far more in common. One body, one spirit, one hope. We're all heading for the same new creation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. What we have in common demands that we live in harmony. A friend was eating in a restaurant with a friend of his who wasn't a Christian believer. And the non-Christian friend said, "See that group over there? I bet they're Christians." So my friend turned around, and sure enough, it was a group from his church who he hadn't noticed in the restaurant. And he thought, how did my companion know they were Christians? Is it their clothing? Is it their hair? What could it be? And his friend said, "Well, it's that they're so different from each other. You know, you've got old and young in that group. You've got scruffy and well-dressed. I can see they're very different, and yet I can see how they love and accept each other. Made me think they must be Christians." Well, it is a wonderful thing, isn't it, when God's family is marked by such peace, loving relationships across the differences we have. Now, there may be those at church, even here, who we naturally find it very hard to get on with. And this teaching means that we must not just avoid them, but actually make every effort to love them in true peace. Consider also our relationship with Christians who attend other churches. Here too, peace, loving relationships, must be our great desire. And the key to this isn't structural committees and churches together, although that has its place, but a vital thing is the attitude of our hearts. Will we be humble, gentle, patient, loving with fellow believers at other churches? Now, there will be times when we disagree with other Christians, and we need to be able to discern whether the disagreement is over a primary issue, something on which salvation depends, like, did the Lord Jesus truly rise from the dead? Well, in such primary issues, we need to defend the truth, and we may sometimes need to distance ourselves from those who teach error. The salvation of souls depends on it. But actually, a disagreement may be over a secondary issue on which salvation does not depend. For example, should we baptize the little children of believers or only those old enough to speak for themselves? On those secondary issues, where we can agree to differ, and we must maintain that bond of peace. Again, there may be times when we need to help two Christians who have fallen out and help them to be reconciled. This too is a costly work that calls for patient prayer and listening, helping the two arguing people to be patient and humble, to give and to receive forgiveness, and in the end, helping them to value Christian unity more than pride or hurt feelings. You see, the unity of God's people is a beautiful thing, and it is a precious treasure which is so valuable to our Father. If we are his children, we will be committed through those attitudes of humility, gentleness, patience, and love to seeking and defending peace within the family of God. So Christian peacemaking is the vertical element, seeking peace between people and God in the work of evangelism. Now the horizontal element, seeking peace in the family of God through the work of Christian unity. And also there's an outward element, seeking peace with all people. Let me read Romans 12:18. It's on the outline there. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See how everyone broadens it out? Our desire for peaceful relationships isn't just limited to the family of God. Actually, we should be known as those who foster and who want peaceful, loving relationships with family, with colleagues, with neighbours, with everyone else. No doubt the attitudes we've just been thinking about will be a great help in that as well. Now, I know that we may have people in our lives, relatives, colleagues or neighbours, with whom seeking peace is very hard indeed. Well, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others?" Jesus gives us two tools there that are extremely powerful in developing peaceful relationships where it's very difficult. The first is praying for those who persecute you. Prayer is so powerful in turning our own hearts towards wanting peace with other people. And the other one in verse 47 is greeting people. Actually, a sincere, courteous greeting can be the start of peacemaking and of peaceful relationships. But Jesus does warn, and I think it's important to say this, that it may not always be possible to live at peace with someone. Even in Romans 12, you see it said, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. And Jesus himself warns us that it may not always be possible. So the final paragraph there is again the Lord Jesus speaking. It's quite shocking what he says in the context of what we've seen. He said, "Do not suppose I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Now, principally and primarily, Jesus did come to bring peace on earth. It's what we've been learning. He came to bring peace between man and God and peace within his family. But Jesus is warning us here that although not the purpose of his coming, one of the results of his coming will inevitably bring conflict. There will inevitably be those who just will not accept our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And if they are people who are very close to us, well, it's very painful to us. But it may be some comfort to see that Jesus here warns that this will sometimes happen, that there will be those who, although we seek peace with them, they just won't accept our allegiance to Christ, and that relationship may not be possible. So Jesus says to us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." How wonderful that God our Father is the God of peace, that he's a God who desires and creates harmonious relationships. He's made a way in Christ for us sinners to have peace with him. How precious that is. And for us to have peace with one another within his family through trusting in Christ who died for us. And we should value and treasure the peace that God creates. But the way that people will know that we're his children, the way that people will call us his children, is if we too are peacemakers. So let's give ourselves to that costly work of seeking peace between people and God as we seek to share the message of Christ. And also to the humble work of seeking peace in the family of God through those attitudes that we were thinking about. And then also to the work of seeking peace with all people, sometimes painful work, as far as we can. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for peace with you and peace with one another through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to be really captivated by the beauty of the peace that you have created. And so help us to take after you as a child taking after his or her father. Help us to value peace ourselves. And show us what we can do to be peacemakers, vertically and horizontally. Amen.